Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds ideas to the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Vigor, a branding and advertising agency focused on the restaurant and hospitality industry, and by Quench, a food and beverage advertising agency that specializes in evolving iconic food and beverage brands. Learn more, visit vigorbranding.com and quenchagency.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
Hello, and welcome to Fork Tales. Today's guest is Yanni Huffnagel of Lemon Perfect. Yanni has an absolutely amazing story. It's going to be a lot of fun. He's got a ton of energy. And he's going to tell us how you go from being a college basketball coach to a water CPG entrepreneur. So welcome to the show, Yanni, and thank you so much for spending time with us.
Michael, I'm so excited to be with you this morning and can't wait for a great podcast.
Awesome. So, you know, you and I met in a very interesting way. I was looking for some space in Atlanta and you were ready to move your office, and we ended up working out a deal, and it's been awesome, and it's really been a pleasure of mine to get to know you and meet you. So this will be fantastic.
Michael, when you and your group walked in that day, you know, the office in Atlanta is a very special place for me. We had an incredible 3 years. And I said, I want you in that office. And we had a lot of people come through, just you know, really great karma, I felt like. And I'm so happy that it worked out. And sounds like your team's off to a great start there, too. So,
yeah, fantastic. And, you know, I felt the same way. In fact, if you remember, I said to you, like, hey, look, we're going to lease this place. But if you need a place to stay, if you want to stay, you're welcome, because your energy is it's contagious. So and it's, hey, look, you do CPG and that's what we do. And it's a cool match. So,
Michael, you might say that today. And then if I take a few phone calls from the office, I'm not sure if your team would feel the same way. So, you know, that might be something to consider, but I really appreciate it.
That's great. All right. Well, let's start with basketball, because it's kind of amazing. Your background, you played lacrosse and all that. Were you a basketball guy? I mean, obviously you coached and you have a great record of coaching. So talk a little bit about your sports and your background and all that good stuff.
Yeah. The short story, I got cut from our high school basketball team my junior year. I played lacrosse in high school, ended up playing lacrosse in college, but loved basketball from a very, very early age. You might remember that there were these starting lineups back in the day, the figurines, and I used to go under the covers and, you know, with Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Kevin McHale and that whole, and put, you know, play 5-on-5. So the love for basketball started at a very, very early age. Got cut from my high school team. There were 15 players that made the team. I was the last cut. There were two cuts the last day. I was one of them, 16 or 17. And, you know, obviously at, you know, 16, a very difficult day, you know, after a couple of years on the JV team. Next day, I was in the principal's office with a friend of mine, and we were actually doing the play-by-play and the color for the high school football team in the fall on Scarsdale Cable 72. And they had never done basketball games. And so I walked in there with Ed Cohen, who actually is now the play-by-play radio voice of the New York Knicks. And we said to the principal, hey, can we broadcast the basketball games, the high school basketball games? The principal gave us like 10 games, and we had a lot of fun doing it. I ended up going to Penn State for a year playing lacrosse, but the basketball bug was always a part of me. When I transferred to Cornell and the idea was to go play lacrosse there, I was in the varsity weight room and met one of the assistant basketball coaches. We got to talking. He said, my God, your passion for basketball is off the charts. We'd love to have you come do something with us. And a week later, I was mopping sweat off the floor as a student manager for the basketball team. So that is the that's the story of how my coaching career started. I was a student manager there under Steve Donahue, who's now the head coach at Penn. And 10 years coaching before we started Lemon Perfect.
That's great. So, and you had quite a reputation for being a great recruiter. I mean, that's a big part of the coaching thing, right? Recruiting talent. And how does that help you with building a business?
So many parallels. I mean, so many parallels between coaching and entrepreneurship, between coaching and running a business. I think at the core, you're telling a story. When you're recruiting, you're telling a story. When you're an entrepreneur, you're telling a story. Mm-hmm. And being a great storyteller, I think, is probably the most important skill that you can have as a recruiter, as a college basketball coach, where recruiting is arguably the most important skill set that a coach can have. Right now, there's the fundraising for NIL component. All
yeah,
that.
The
game's changed quite a bit. But if you don't have great players and talent, it's very hard to put them in a position. You can be a great coach, but you better have talent. And then certainly on the entrepreneurial journey, where you're building a venture-backed business, being able to tell a great story is really important. And it all starts with the product, right? When I was coaching college basketball, it was selling our coaching staff, our head coach, it was selling the school, it was selling the facilities. And then with Lemon Perfect, it's all been about selling the product, right? How do you, and selling the chance to win big, just mm-hmm. like in basketball, right? You're selling player development, you're selling the chance to win championships, to be a part of something really special. So a lot of parallels. And I joke around often when someone asks me, do you have any advice? Sometimes I joke around and say, yeah, go coach a college team for 10 years and then come back to me.
You bring up a really interesting point, and you actually threw out a really nice needle for what I always thought. And, my background is, I guess I started as a creative in advertising, right? So what am I? I'm selling, but I'm really a storyteller, right? Started several different companies. One is Quench, which is food and beverage, yep, CPG. And so to your point, I mean, I always tell my daughters, I'm like, look, in life, you have to sell. I do not care what you're doing. You could be the CEO. You can be actually selling a product. You can be a coach, right? You're selling something. But the way you said it is you're selling it through a story, because then you can say, well, come play for us. We're a great team. It's like, okay, everyone's saying it. But you got to tell a story to engage people and really, really have them understand, give it personality, give it some persuasion, but actually, make it interesting, right? Because you can't keep people's attention if you're boring. So, I think that's a really interesting thing to say, the storytelling angle, because I always say that's what we do. We tell stories and tell brand stories. So I think that's a really good parallel. So yes. Now this will probably be a good segue here. So how do you go from coaching basketball to making a beverage? That's a real big jump here. So what's the story there? There has to be something that happened to you along the way.
Yeah. I will add one, Michael, I think it is important, just on the, finishing up the last point, I do think there's a difference between, selling and presenting. And I've always felt like, presenting was more important than selling. We just, I've always tried to present our vision, our story,
sure,
and not sell it.
Right.
And so I always, that is something that I like to share, is that, we've raised almost $100 million at Lemon Perfect. We've signed great talent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever sold, right? I've just presented. Gotcha. And yeah, I think there's a big difference there. Anyway, getting into the story of Lemon Perfect, my last year coaching, I was at the University of Nevada in Reno. And I was on a recruiting trip to Santa Rosa Junior College. And from Reno to Santa Rosa, towards the end of the trip, you drive through Petaluma, California. and I saw a Starbucks out of the corner of my eye. I am a big Starbucks iced coffee drinker, black, one shot of espresso, stopped, got an iced coffee for the tail end of the trip. And in that strip mall, there was a sports supplement store. And I walked in, got a couple of protein bars, and the man working behind the register, he saw my Nevada basketball polo and he said, "Do you work for the team?" I said, "Yes, I'm an assistant coach." He said, "No way. My dream is to be a strength and conditioning coach for an NBA basketball team, right? What are the odds?" And business cards were still a thing back then. Yeah. I said, "Matt, here's my card. If I can ever be helpful, let me know." A couple weeks later, he sent me an email. He said, "Can you take a look at a draft of a book that I'm working on with a friend?" And the book was called The Ketogenic Diet. This is 2017, right as keto was having a moment in the natural channel. It hadn't garnered. It was a little bit in advance of there was a real mainstream moment for keto in 2018, 2019. It's since lost a lot of its momentum. But anyway, in the back of Matt's book were all these sample meal plans. And every day started by drinking organic lemon water. And I was searching at the time for some structure in my routine, diet, training plan. And I said, "Matt, I'm in A through Z. Let's do it." And lemon water in the morning just became a part of my daily routine. And I hated it, right? I mean, there was one Whole Foods in Reno, buy the lemons, cut the lemon, squeeze the lemon, juice all over, bland taste. I mean, a lot of mornings I just threw my hands up in the air at 6 a.m. and said, "This sucks. There has to be a better way." And, you know, this is the path of destiny. Coach Musselman's wife, Eric Musselman, who I was working for at the University of Nevada at the time, is now the head coach at Southern California. His wife's sister was on the field marketing team at Bai, which is now one of our largest competitors. And little did I know in 2017 that this was at the very height of their growth story. They were months away from being acquired by Keurig Dr. Pepper and almost a $2 billion transaction. Anyway, we were drinking a lot of Bai. It was a very innovative product, good flavor, 1 gram of sugar. And I just had a moment and I just said, "Hold on. Can we take organic lemon water and make it taste good?" And that was really the seed of the journey. I didn't run out of the locker room that day and go start a beverage company. We ended up losing to Iowa State in the first round of the NCAA tournament in Milwaukee. The next week I was in Los Angeles. I was having lunch with a friend who invests. He's an angel investor in a lot of consumer businesses. And I said, "John, what do you think about this idea?" And he said, "I love it. Anything that you can do, that you can build, that captures a piece of someone's daily routine, right? What they do in the morning when they first get up, what they do at night when they go to sleep, or any point in between is worth going for. You can build a business around." And I jumped up. I said, "You know what? The hell with it. I'm going to take a year off and go see what we can do." You know, I don't know if that was a good decision or a bad decision. Time will tell. But 7 years later, I've had a lot of fun. We've sold over 100 million bottles.
Wow.
And, you know, Michael, we feel like we're just getting started.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a dynamite product. I'm fortunate to have tried it. Candidly, I think you left about 300 or 400 bottles at your office. So whenever I'm in Atlanta, we get to drink some perfect. Good. But I'm familiar with you because I saw you guys at Natural Product Expo too, and I sampled. That's before I even knew you. So great product. Fantastic. What's your favorite flavor? We got a bunch of great flavors.
You know, it's hard, Michael. That's like asking a father, you know, to name their favorite son or daughter.
They can all do it, by the way. They just won't.
Yeah, and I don't think I will here. You know, okay. I've look. We feel like we've got Murderer's Row.
There you go.
Right now, I'm drinking an original. That's our hero. That's how this whole thing started. But you know, I'm looking at a peach on my desk. I'm looking at a watermelon on my desk that I drank this morning. So, you know, we feel like we've created an incredible lineup with flavor profiles that are all delicious and refreshing, and you know, It's hard for me to name a favorite, and yeah. I think it's hard for most of our consumers to name a favorite, which is really nice. I mean, most of our, 35% of our sales are in our original, the Hero, but then you sure. have a really nice even distribution split mm-hmm. beyond that for the most part.
It'd be fun social promotion to just get people to name their favorites. Just
yeah, that is a good idea.
You could do a bracket like the Final Four, like put them up there and compete against each other and have flavors and have a championship
that's
round.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, well, yeah. That's a really good idea.
I owe you that for all the lemon water I drink. Now, all your flavors, just to be clear for anyone that's listening, you have different flavors, but it's all based on a lemon water base.
If you look at our facts panel, our nutritional facts yeah. panel, same panel across the portfolio. Yep. So, Lemon Perfect is it's a flavored lemon water, organic, zero sugar, 100% vitamin C in every bottle. So there's a half a squeezed organic lemon in every bottle. So it is, every bottle is the exact same. And in fact, Michael, I can maybe let you under the hood here in a little bit. this is, as these podcasts, they live on, you can see here, this is our current package. Mm-hmm. What we've done is updated our packaging. This will launch in March, where we have added yellow to every flavor to signal lemon water across our portfolio. So that's a little bit of a peek under the hood there in terms of what's coming. We're really excited about it.
It's great. It's excellent. I'll tell you, in our business, again, CPG Quench, we do food and beverage, right? We also have a company called Market Street Trust Design, which does packaging. Mm. So we have a lot of experience. I mean, we've done a lot of national brand packages that you eat and drink. We've designed. And I saw your product. I've had your product. Product's fantastic. I thought, you know what? The packaging could use some energy.
A refresh.
You know? It really did. And there's things about it. I love how the name stands out. It's on it sideways and all that. I just felt like flavor profile wise and just from a shelf standpoint, you need to, that point of sale is where you got to win all the time. So I love what you did. I love the new design. So congratulations. That's great. Oh,
thank you, Michael. We, when you sell 100 million of something,
yeah,
it's not easy to pivot and change.
No, and there's a lot of packaging sitting around. Yeah, I get you.
And there's a lot of love for the current package, and obviously a lot of familiarity. We spent a lot of time with this measuring purchase intent between the old and the potential new, measuring refreshment cues, and the idea was to build the most commercial package that we could. What is the package that we believe is going to help us sell the most bottles as we scale mm-hmm. the business from here? We've sold 100 million bottles. How do you sell a billion? Yeah. And to do that, America and beyond, they don't read words. They read pictures, right, on packaging. Yep. So putting fruit on the front was a big decision for us. We think the right decision. Simplifying our message, flavor, organic lemon water, zero sugar, organic, larger logo. I mean, so there's a lot that we're excited about. And this will launch in February of 25. And as I hope this podcast lives on, I think people will be able to, go back and listen to this or listen to it for the first time down the road and say, wow, this was before they changed the packaging. Now look at it. So it's fun for me to think about.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Ironically, I was doing focus groups in Philadelphia this week, and it'll be in, I think it's Nashville or New Orleans next week. And we were doing on packaging for a food company. I can't mention what it is because, for confidentiality. But we've done this before for lots of companies. And it's wild because in the case of the companies I'm talking about, these couple of companies have a lot of equity. They've been around a long time. And that's a very It's a very serious change. I mean, not only do you have the capital improvements of repackaging and paying for printing and bottles and all that good stuff, but then you also have like, well, people find you this way. They know you this way. They see it. They if they don't recognize you, we've all heard about big debacles. In fact, in, all over the internet yesterday was the fact that Jaguar changed its logo.
I saw that.
Yeah, right.
And that's,
And that, they're getting a lot of backlash. Yeah, yeah, crazy, right? And in fact, one situation we were in, and I was, again, candidly, and this is what we do for a living, right? Branding, you know, consumer package. I was nervous as hell. We were sitting there, and one of our clients I'm very proud of, and the growth they've had is Sun Made Raisins. Sun Made wanted to look at changing their packaging. Well, they've had that sun and that the woman holding the grapes on a red box for like a gajillion years.
Yeah.
We sat in a focus group, and it was awesome. One of the greatest quotes, this lady said, changing this box would be like changing the American flag. I was like, wow, that's powerful. And so what we did
is we had those things when I was growing up all right. the time.
Yeah. So we cleaned it up. We modernized it. But you wouldn't really be able to sit there and say, oh, they changed this or they changed that. If we put them next to each other, you can tell. But it's just very, very simple, clean things. So sometimes you need an evolution and sometimes you need a revolution. And, you know, I truly love what you did with the package. And that's Thank great. You. Congratulations.
I think, Michael, I think we're somewhere between a revolution and an evolution.
Yeah.
We kept our word mark the same. We carried over the period after the word perfect. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the messaging has remained unchanged. We went from hydrating lemon water on the principal display panel to organic lemon water just because we thought that the word hydrating and water were redundant. But we did feel like it was very important to get a little bit bolder, a little bit louder.
Yep.
Carry yellow across the package.
I agree. I think it's great because, again, if people didn't know, that's why I even said it. It's like people didn't know they see watermelon flavor. Well, they might think it's watermelon water, yeah. And that's not what it is. And the other thing too, I'll say is like when you put your product in the mouth, it's a bold flavor. It's a great flavor profile. Bold flavor. So it's great for the colors now. The packaging matches the taste. That's the best way to say it. Because you said in the beginning that you used to squeeze your own,
yeah.
You know, it was bland and it was terrible and all that. This definitely is not that.
And yeah. Michael, that's a great, the packaging matches the taste.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, okay. Now we're talking a little bit of packaging, you know, you get into marketing and stuff. So you had this, you know, influencer, that's a huge part of what we all do in social media, the digital media, you know, you had this influencer by the name of, I think her name's Beyonce, yeah. Drink Your Water one time. And I think that was a thing. Can you tell that story a little bit, how that launched you guys or helped with your popularity?
Yeah. You know, it all started when, I woke up on a Sunday morning, early 2020, January 26, 2020. And I must have had 100 text messages. They said, did you see? And I was living in Los Angeles at the time. So, you know, my 8 a.m. was everyone yeah. else's 11, right? So
right.
I woke up to a string of, and they said, did you see it? I said, see what? They said, Beyonce just posted Lemon Perfect. Right. And this was actually before TikTok or anything. So
yeah, sure.
When people said posted, that was Instagram, right? you know, I'm looking at it and I didn't see it. And I kept scrolling. So it was like the sixth image of her carousel or whatever. There was a bottle of Lemon Perfect in her limousine the night before the Grammy Awards as she was going to a pre-Grammy party or whatever. And it was a dragon fruit mango. I don't have a bottle of dragon fruit mango, but it was perfectly faced in her limousine. And we all like, oh my, right? Because our yellow cap is iconic, so you can see.
Sure.
And that was a hell of a moment. We tried to get in touch with her. She was changing her management team, so we were actually unsuccessful. But fast forward, and you know, I can't get into all the details of the story, but one of our investors has a relationship with her. They got to talking about Lemon Perfect, and he said, "You need to invest." And fast forward, and she did, and an incredible moment for Lemon Perfect. Obviously, we're thrilled that someone like Beyonce. I mean, she's one of one, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, arguably the most recognized, star in the world, for her and those close to her to love Lemon Perfect the way that they do is, I mean, it's just beyond special. And she's a big part of our story. And I'm hopeful that we can get a win for her as we scale this business.
That's fantastic. And you bring that up. It's funny. I was doing a podcast with a very good friend of mine in the food industry, and he's actually an investor as well in Lemon Perfect. Without me talking about you or even like anything, he just brought it up. You know, I was talking about like some of the things he's involved in, and he said, I'm involved in some of these brands, and Lemon Perfect was one of the brands he mentioned. So he's, wow. It's a small world.
It's hard to, we obviously have a lot of LPs in funds.
Sure.
That I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But as is, we have over 350 entities on our cap table. So,
wow.
It has been quite a ride.
That is a lot of pressure.
And I think today more than ever, I mean, we raised our first dollar on January 31st, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up on 7 years.
Yeah.
And, that's a long time that we have not had a liquidity event. Mm-hmm. There's burden, right? Look, when people invest in venture, especially early like that, there's an understanding that there's, liquidity. You never know when it's going to come. I would have liked for this thing to have been, a 7 year journey to liquidity, not what's likely going to be a 10 to 12 year journey mm-hmm. to liquidity. Mm-hmm. We're in a great spot. The business is going to do close to $100 million in retail sales this year.
It's awesome.
But we haven't found a way out yet. Mm-hmm. And when I say found a way out, we haven't, sure. I mean, our early investors are 10X today, mm-hmm. a markup, but we haven't been able to deliver anything more than paper returns. And so, I'm hopeful that we can get there in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you have a fantastic product, so I'm sure someone's gonna be interested. I mean, we see a lot of this. The beverage side of things is very competitive, as you well know. I mean, you mentioned Bai earlier. We all know, all the different waters that are out there that have done well and stuff. But I think one of the things we do at Quench is we do our food trends every year. And you're right on trend with the organic and the health and hydration. I mean, all those trends have been coming together. And I mean, you're ahead of the trend because you've been doing this for 7 years. Yeah. But that's really, really in the forefront of people's minds right now is hydration and drinking enough water and all that. So I think, your best days are still ahead of you. And I think people take for granted they think it's easy. It's like, oh, Yanni started a beverage. It's on the stores. He's a multi-billionaire now. It's like the world's so easy for him. And it's not. It's a grind, right? I mean, like being an entrepreneur, like you said, you have a lot of the pressure on your shoulders for investors. You got employees, a lot of mouths to feed. Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about, your team and getting them to believe in your vision.
Yeah, we have an incredible group, Michael. And I think this is a given our relationship, a place where I can be unvarnished. We had an incredible entrepreneurial culture, over the first, I would call it 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost our way a little bit. Hired the wrong people, that came from corporate backgrounds and obviously we had great growth, but I think it's hurt us a little bit as we think about just the long-term outlook for Lemon Perfect. And so now I've been really focused over the last 6 months or so in terms of refining our entrepreneurial way. Mm-hmm. And it's just when you're building a beverage and you have to scratch and claw and fight and bleed every day, you need that. And, you know, I'm really looking at, I love our group that we have today, And, you know, I mean, this business is, you know, we have a plan to be $100 million, our revenue in 2026 and profitable. And we're not that far away now. There's a real vision to get there. We've got great innovation coming. But, you know, it took me, honestly, I mean, we had some, when I was coaching my first 4 years as an assistant, I was at Harvard. And I thought I became a good recruiter. I think I got a little bit better at Vanderbilt and then a little bit better at Cal. And then I think my best success as a recruiter was when I was at Nevada, my 1 year with Coach Musselman. We recruited a group that ended up going to the Elite Eight. And I would say the same thing with beverage, right? I've gotten better and better and better. I'm 7 years in. I'm excited to think about where I'm going to be at 10 years, right? It just, you know, it just takes time. It was a completely different industry. And I think we did some really good things early on, you know, potentially lost our way a little bit in the middle, and now we're back on track. And so, you know, but it's about culture. You have to have a relentless motor. And I think we've got a group that will do that right now.
Yeah. Hey, you bring up another great point. You know, when I started my company, it was like my first agency was 33 years ago. I started with $300, my checking. That's all I had. I had no investors. I had no nothing. I didn't even know how to get an investor. Wow. My parents didn't have any money. And so it was like really hand to mouth and scratching, right? And I'll never forget, when a guy, one of our employees, one of my very first employees bought a car, and I was like, what the hell did you do that for? Because I felt so responsible for that guy's paycheck. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be around in 3 months, let alone you making car payments for the next 5 years or whatever it is. I mean, I was like scared to death over that guy, you know? And I think the whole hiring thing too, over those times, like I know I made some mistakes. Like, you know, you have this sort of like gritty entrepreneurial, like we can do anything and just got to beg, borrow, steal, fight, scratch, whatever it takes. And that's how we started. But then as you grow, to your point, bringing these corporate folks, because, you know, look, you buy experience, right? You buy knowledge.
Yeah.
A lot of times that person that was in that corner office at that big company doesn't fit in with the hustle. They can't kind of get it with the hustle and the entrepreneurial spirit. They don't jive the same way. They're used to working a certain way, maybe more 9-to-5-ish, you know? Yeah. And so it doesn't, you know, I found it took a long time for us to mesh up. And it was probably as much me having to grow and be more of a corporate owner than just an entrepreneur. There's that transition, right? But I have to think that coaching and your recruiting helped you a lot with a lot of
that. No, listen, no question. No question. You know, Michael, it can also hurt you. I've heard from some of our people, you know, Yanni's always recruiting. So think about that, right? Like that is a, that's tough sometimes, right? Like, so how do you, you know, and I am, because I want the absolute best team on earth. And so I am always recruiting, but that can hurt you, right? You don't want anyone, you know, feeling like, oh my God, you know, he's trying to, you know, so that has been something that I think I've gotten better at. I love our group today. You mentioned it. I mean, there's no one more important than our people. Right. I say it all the time. The four P's: product, packaging, pricing, architecture, and the most important one is people. Mm-hmm. And they drive this business. My vision, but at the end of the day, that's where then it's about our people executing and you know, when you have a group of 60 people with families and mm-hmm. this is, I mean, listen, Lemon Perfect is not a 9-to-5, right? So our people are really invested in what we're doing. I think if you spend some time here, you'd say, my God, they're irrationally invested in what Lemon Perfect can become. They bleed yellow. We talk about that a lot.
It's awesome.
I do think we've got good balance here, but when we're on, we're on. And there's no other way to scale a business like this than to have that irrational, enthusiasm for where we can take this business. But, you know, so providing for our people, but also being a trampoline of growth for our people is very important. I want them to feel like they can bounce higher every day, every week, every month, every year, higher, higher, higher. So that's something that we're very committed to is growth. There's a big dream at the end of this as well, right? Every single person at Lemon Perfect is an owner of the Lemon Perfect company, and so everyone has upside. And if or when we cross the finish line, and we're the last team standing, it'll be an incredible moment, not only of great perseverance from our people and being able to survive and advance and survive and advance and survive and advance year after year, but also that there will be, an economic piece of this, where our people will have a really nice day and hopefully set themselves up and their families, for the future.
That's awesome. Well, and it's like, one of my questions is like, how would you define success in business compared to sports? And I think you're hitting on a lot of that. At the end of the day, it's winning, and winning could be making a payout, a liquid event. But it really has, I think, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but it just feels like your team and the pride of your team is probably just as important as any liquid event.
Yes. Look, sports is a little bit better defined in terms of winning, right? There's a scoreboard. You win, you lose. In basketball, you can't tie. There's only one team that remains when it's all said and done, right? So there's one team that cuts down the nets. There's one team that wins it all. In beverage, there are multiple companies that have a chance to ultimately win it all. We're still defined and measured by a scoreboard every day, right? There are more metrics that go into that scoreboard, right? There's gross revenue, there's net revenue, there's, margin, there's, profit and loss, right? There are a lot of, I would say, so there's all that. I would say at the end of the day for me, Michael, winning, if we do this, what I'm about to say, I think then everything will fall into place. I would like for Lemon Perfect to become a product and a brand that has, real ubiquity, right? Mm-hmm. Whether, I'm here in New York, so whether I go downstairs and see someone drinking a bottle of Lemon Perfect on the corner of, 43rd and 9th, or I'm in, Boston, Massachusetts, or in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Beverly Hills, California, no matter the retailer, no matter the neighborhood, I don't care what you look like, how much money you make, where you live. We say all the time that flavor knows no boundaries. We think we're delivering that. At the same time that we're delivering the power of lemons in every sip. And so I want to see Lemon Perfect everywhere. I want to feel it everywhere. I think we're on our way, but there's a whole lot more work to do there, and we'll know. We'll know, when you start seeing it, in people's hands, with in a much more prevalent way, because then you're going to be at a point where you've got scale, right? And you'll have a chance to get to liquidity. Your people will be taken care of. Your investors will be taken care of. So, and the journey will have been run. We hope that in the next couple of years we get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, I've had your product. I think I love what you're doing. You know, you talked about making mistakes along the way. There's not one entrepreneur out there that hasn't made mistakes along the way. I'm in a group called YPO, and everybody in that group, everybody has seen a day when they thought they were going off the cliff. And I don't care, you know, how many jets they have now, or, you know, how long they've been retired, or where they're, everyone was at that edge. And that's part of the journey. And then I think in a way that's what makes it exciting. You know, certainly no one likes the downfalls. I mean, they're painful, but the whole journey is really, really what makes it exciting. I've heard you talk before about balance and stuff. And it's funny because, you know, you answered it really well. Well, maybe you didn't answer it well. You're talking about, like, you don't have a balance, you know, but it's, I think it's sort of like when you're passionate about something, you're an entrepreneur, you're defined by what you do, and your balance is what you do. And it's just a thread. It's not like a 9-to-5 thing, to your point. It's not like a start and stop, or, oh, I'm going to turn myself off now, or it's the weekend, I don't even think about it. I mean, you know, it's just who we are, right?
There is, you know, listen, I've been, you know, hammered for saying this before. Look, there really isn't balance for me. I mean, for our people, there has to be. There really does. I mean, mm-hmm. But for me, where, you know, you've got more responsibility, you know, obviously, yeah. I mean, you know, I've got big upside in this thing. It's all on paper. Nothing has been realized yet. So, you know, this is a rest of the life outcome for me, a rest of my life outcome for me. It just, yeah, I mean, I want to build something great. I want to build something that survives. I want to build something that in 15, 20, 25, 30 years is still an iconic brand, or becomes an iconic brand. Like we want to get there. And so I can't stop. I can't stop. It's all I think about. I'm trying to get better, but you know, look, 7 years of some great moments, but really 7 years of it's been a pain-filled journey.
Sure.
You know, and I do think you're right, Michael. From the outside, it's like, you know, yeah, Yanni's living this great, you know, existence, and, you know, you see me on Instagram or whatever, and, you know, like, you know, but behind the curtain, it's a very different, you know, it's, you know, just how are we going to get to next year? How are we going to get to 2026? Right. You know, how are we going to grow this business, you know, between today and 26, you know, another 100%, right? Like, there's just a lot of thought, thinking, guessing, and yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what's next? What's next for Lemon Perfect? I mean, new flavors, we got new packaging. I saw that. Any new partnerships you can talk about? Anything, you know, anything that's kicking that you want to talk about?
We new packaging launching in March, which is the big thing for us right now. We have two flavors, two new flavors launching in March. We have a lime that's insane, and we have a sunshine tea.
Oh, cool.
Think half and half. That is incredible. Really excited to get those two products to the shelf. You know, we continue to think about what comes beyond just our core product. We've thought a lot about sparkling in that category, and, you know, putting Lemon Perfect into an aluminum vessel. So I think you'll see that at some point, you know, end of 25, beginning of 26, continuing to dial in on the product. You know, we're at a new contract manufacturing location, where we're now nitrogen dosing our bottles. So to give our bottles, every bottle, a really firm, you know, feel and look. Today we've got some paneling issues with our bottles. So just continuing to improve on product quality is a big, big thing for us right now. And, you know, it's a good feeling to know that we're just a couple of months away from getting the new packaging, and new bottles, out into the world and see how they perform.
Yeah. And are you guys shelf stable, or are you refrigerated?
Okay. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually worked for years with a company, an iced tea company, and they were the first. And again, I know why you do this, or why they did it. They were sold cold, shipped cold, and, you know, refrigerated. So they were packed, shipped, and sold cold the whole way through, not shelf stable. And we actually kind of, believe it or not, created that category because we started it regionally and it grew and it grew and it grew. And more convenience stores are taking this tea product. And, you know, all of a sudden a couple of small companies called Coca-Cola and Pepsi got involved in this same cold tea category that we owned. And I mean, we went national and it was a pretty cool run until those big guys got involved. And they're still there, but it was kind of wild because the good news is you do a great job. And then all of a sudden you get in the radar of these big companies and they're like, they just want to take you out and take your market share. But it's a fascinating, fascinating category. And I do love, by the way, I love the innovation of adding tea in this because to me, you know, lemon water is it's delicious, as I said, but it's like someone might be like, well, do I want to try that? Well, everyone's had tea. So it's like, that's an easy entry point, right? You created a much easier entry point for your brand. And I think that's brilliant. So congratulations on that.
It's interesting. You know what, Michael, I hadn't thought about that yet. So we're really excited. Here it is. This is our, there it is, our sunshine tea.
Perfect.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I think, and I'd even do something when you market it through however social. I'd let people know about that because again, we all had iced tea, so it's like, oh, I wonder how this tastes. And it's like, oh, wait, this is lemon pro. It's different. It's lemon water.
Yeah,
it's an entry point for you. So I think it's a really smart move.
It's great.
I always end the podcast. I could talk to you for hours. You're awesome.
Same.
The last question. So I asked this of everybody. If you had one final meal, what would you eat and why?
Oh, it's a slice of cheese pizza, Michael.
Where are we getting the cheese pizza? New York?
I would do.
It's gotta be New York,
honestly,
right?
And this is a problem. You know, I lived in Atlanta and I was not, it was, there was no walkable pizza place to me in West Midtown. Now here in New York, you know, you've got dollar slices on every single corner downstairs. I try to eat clean.
Sure.
There is nothing like a slice of New York style pizza, in my opinion. And so I think that would be it. I might wash it down with a slice of New York style cheesecake. It's a good thing I've got Lemon Perfect and not, you know, soda or something from I always say, if you're going to eat your calories, it's a lot better than drinking your calories.
There you go. That's right. And hey, look, you know, what if it's your last meal, you might as well eat two or three slices of pizza, five slices. Who cares at that point, right? And like, you're right. What an indulgent, wonderful meal.
I've very rarely had just one slice. So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would be my last meal would be maybe a whole pie. Yeah.
There you go. Yanni, it was wonderful. I appreciate your time. Your story's fantastic. Your product's great. Congratulations. And look forward to watching you grow in the future.
Michael, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.